As you write your life story, you're far from finished. Are you looking to close the book on your job? Maybe turn a page in your career? Be continued at the Georgetown University School of Continuing Studies. Our professional master's degrees and certificates are designed to meet you where you are and take you where you want to go. At Georgetown SCS, the learning never stops, and neither do you. Write your next chapter. Be continued at scs.georgetown.edu/podcast.
The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Hi, I'm Wendy.
And I'm Jess, and you're listening to the Food Heaven Podcast,
your online resource for inclusive and accessible wellness. Welcome back. We are in the virtual studio still, 3 years later. Never going back to in-person recordings again. So we have a new series for y'all. Y'all know we did the burnout series previously, and now we're like, damn, we think we're on to something. We're going to keep doing series.
Hello.
And as the good dietitians that we are, we decided that we should go back to basics and do a nutrition series. Since it's kind of been a while, child, we've been talking about real estate, we've been talking about finances, we've been talking about burnout. We're like, we should probably
talk about nutrition.
Right.
We should those degrees to use.
Right. Probably get back to what we were trained in. So we are going to be doing a 4-part nutrition series. So excited. Today's episode is about protein. Is it overrated or is it not? Then our second episode in the lineup is, what does healthy eating even mean anymore? Because God, there's just so much confusion, as I'm sure you already know. And it's like, well, what does it even mean? So we're going to provide some clarity on that. Then we're going to be talking about meal planning in a non-diety way, some of our top strategies for meal planning during the week. And then we are going to do a Q&A, since it's been a minute. We're going to answer some of your most commonly asked questions. So make sure that you start submitting them. You can DM them to us on Instagram. And yeah, we're going to jump right in. But before we do that, I do want to highlight a listener review. This is from Eden Chung, and they write, I've been listening to this podcast for a couple years now, and I absolutely love it. Wendy and Jess thoughtfully address topics with a unique perspective that always resonates with me. This current series on burnout is making me feel so seen. I love the brands they work with. I've used several hookup codes and always love the products they suggest. Lately, I've tried a few recipes on their website too. I love the variety and accessibility of them. Thank you so much for doing what you do.
Thank you so much for that review. That was so sweet, and we appreciate it so much. And if you have not already, please head on over to iTunes and give us some stars. By the way, you can also do this in Spotify too, because I know a lot of people are saying they now listen in Spotify, and you know, Spotify's kind of taken over things. So either or works. On that note, to show our appreciation for you all and all the support with our podcast, we are doing another giveaway.
Drum roll.
Yeah, drum roll. Since we are talking about nutrition for this nutrition series, we thought we could buy somebody's groceries for the week. So what we are going to do is send the winner a $75 gift card, and you could just fill up your cart wherever you shop, no problem, and get those groceries. How do you enter? Very simple. All you got to do is screenshot the episode as you're listening. You can screenshot on either iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcast, and share it on Instagram or Instagram stories, and make sure to tag us and just put a little note about something you've learned. Like, I've enjoyed this nutrition series, or I can't wait to listen to the next episode in the series, so that we can, you know, hear what it is that you guys are taking away from this podcast, and also help to spread the word, all the information that we are sharing with folks. So screenshot this episode, tag us at Food Heaven, and just put a little note, mention what it is you liked about this series.
All right. So now, jumping into today's episode, is protein overrated? Why do carbs and fats get so much shade? Like, Jess, is it just me or does it seem like protein is always the it girl?
Okay, I have a story about this. I wrote an article for the Huffington Post. It was the first nutrition article I ever wrote. And it was basically this whole topic of protein and how much we need and is it overrated? When I tell you I basically got death threats, mind you, this was in like 2011. I was still in nutrition school. Or no, I was a dietitian. It was 2012. People were like, you're an idiot. You need your license revoked. Like,
oh my God.
Insanity. So when I say people are very attached to their protein, it's next level. So I was like, oh my God, I'm never writing an article again.
Oh my God.
Like, y'all That's are wild.
So crazy. I didn't know that.
Yeah. So I don't, I don't get it. Like, what do you think is like the reason people are so attached?
Well, I think that there's definitely some historical context, which I wanted to touch on in today's episode, because I think especially in the United States, food marketing is so pervasive. And like, even if it's not rooted in any type of research or science, when things, you know, catch on fire and they take off, it's like there's no stopping it, especially when it comes to like messaging around food groups and what's good and what's not good. So there's been a lot of misinformation in pseudoscience. Fats and carbs historically have been associated with weight gain, and we know that there is a lot of fear that we have as a society about being fat, gaining weight, and specifically with the fear of fat in terms of like fat as a macronutrient. It really took off like around the 60s and 70s. I don't know if you remember, there was like literally like fat-free, low-fat everything, which is still, it's still in now, but before it was like heavy with the food marketing. Do you remember like seeing kind of like old food labels and like all of that?
I sure do. And even me as a kid, I used to think like low fat was better.
Yeah. So that was around the time where the government wanted to focus on the rise in heart disease. And around this time, Dietary Guidelines for Americans came out. So there was this focus on reducing fat, increasing carbs. So, you know, again, a lot of these like fat-free products were coming out. People were trying to cut back on fat at all costs. And so what ended up happening with a lot of food products, which at the time there was a rise in processed convenient foods with just like industrialization and things like that. And so they were substituting fats with higher amounts of sugar so that the food could actually taste good. Like, for example, think low-fat cookies. Like, they're probably going to be really dry, not taste so great. So a lot of these food companies ended up increasing the sugar. And so then what happens is, like, fats at that time were targeted. Also, it made sense to target fats because, as we know as dietitians, fats are more calorically dense. They have about double the calories compared to like protein and carbs. And so a lot of things were overlooked. It's like things were just like oversimplified. The science wasn't really looked at. We now know that calorie intake, it's not an accurate reflection of weight, which was kind of like one of the guiding reasons behind all of this like demonization of fat. And also there are different types of fat. It's like there are fats that are healthier than others. And back then it was just kind of like a blanket statement, like, no, fats are bad. We need to just do away with them.
And we all know what happened next. Fats are back and carbs are out. So the shift started to demonize carbs. Everybody. Well, actually, no, not everybody, because Gen Z probably doesn't know Atkins. If you are a millennial and above, you have heard of the Atkins diet. That started to gain popularity in the 90s. And this was promoted for weight loss and health. So Atkins was a low carb diet. And the reason why this gained traction was because there was so much misinformation about carbs breaking down into glucose, which that is true, but then that automatically means that people will gain weight. And this is just not rooted in science, and it's an oversimplification. I'm not going to make a joke.
No.
I just cannot help it. I was going to say an oversimplification of her beauty, which is a Terrence Nance movie.
Oh, yeah.
Remember?
I remember that. Yeah. Oh, Terrence.
Yeah. Oh, Terrence. We go back a ways. No, just kidding, y'all. Okay. So, not sure if you're noticing the trend here, but again, these nutrition fads are rooted in fear of weight gain. And if you pair that with marketing and all these companies wanting to make money plus bad science, it's a recipe for complete disaster. So where are we now? Flash forward 30 years-ish, and there are so many diets, I cannot even keep track. And it's funny because when I talk to people who find out I'm a dietitian, they're always like telling me about these random diets, and then they're like offended that I don't know them. And I'm just like, y'all, this is nonsensical. Like, I'm not even trying to keep up because it doesn't even deserve brain power, a lot of these things. Again, if something works for you, a certain style of eating, like, great. Like, if it truly works for your mental, physical, and overall well-being, like, we're not hating on that. But once you start getting into things like one meal a day or the cabbage soup diet, you lost us. And, you know, it just from keto to paleo to raw food to intermittent fasting, there's just so many different diets and trends out there. The bottom line is that all of the macronutrients, which are carbs, fat, and protein, are equally important, and we don't recommend cutting out or restricting any of them. I want to make a case for one of the misunderstood dried fruits of all times, and that is California prunes. Many people already know that prunes are great for gut health. But did you know that they help with bone and heart health too? Plus, they're delicious. Even if they had no health benefits, I would still eat prunes most days because I love the way they taste. So I'm so excited to tell you about California prunes because they are going to become your new pantry essential. First off, they're an amazing healthy snack, and they contain dietary fiber plus other nutrients to support good gut health, potassium to support heart health, and vitamin K, copper, and other antioxidants to support healthy bones. California prunes are also a great ingredient for baking and cooking. If you go to the Food Heaven website and you search prunes, you'll see that we have incorporated them in many different types of recipes throughout the years. I was looking, and it's actually since 2018. We have a delicious prune berry crumble recipe. We also have a recipe that includes prunes and Brussels sprouts. There's like a delicious prune glaze. So you can incorporate them in so many different recipes, and don't be scared of adding them to savory dishes for like a subtle touch of rich sweetness. Prunes are also great for baking. Folks don't realize that prunes can be a great substitute for sugar. So try something new today, y'all. Have some prunes. We've been saying this for years, and we're going to say it again. Prunes are delicious and have a rich, deep flavor that pairs beautifully with many different foods, from espresso to chocolate, caramel, and cinnamon. If you're a flavor fanatic, you'll get it. Visit californiaprunes.org for more information and delicious recipes, and pick up some California prunes on your next shopping trip for snacking, cooking, and baking. All right, let's get to the episode.
Today, we're going to cover whether or not some macronutrients are more beneficial than others, the importance and functions of each macronutrient in the body, and foods that contain each of the macronutrients, and how to put together a healthy plate. I want to start with carbs because I feel like carbs are getting the most shade out of all of the macronutrients right now. Just mentioned keto, paleo. I feel like just with talking to patients that I've consulted with, I think like their go-to nutrient to cut out when trying to eat healthier or if they're like trying to lose weight is always carbs for some reason. But mm-hmm. then they're like with a headache, about to pass out, hangry, and I'm like, it's probably because you're not eating enough carbs. And also, I feel like with the rise in diabetes, carbs have been associated with diabetes somehow, which like diabetes is such a complex condition, and eating carbs is not going to cause diabetes. And so there's this association that like, oh, you know, if I'm at a higher risk for diabetes, or like if I want to avoid diabetes, I need to cut out carbs, which it's so far from the truth. So let's start there. Carbs are the preferred fuel of the brain and the central nervous system, which is probably why you're feeling weak and dizzy when you're cutting them out. It provides you quick energy. It's digested and transported into cells faster than proteins or fats. Something that I see happen all the time with people that restrict carbs is that later on in the day, they're craving sweets. They're craving simple carbs. And that's because your brain is not getting the energy that it needs. And the quickest form of fuel that it's going to get is going to be from a simple carb. So it makes a lot of sense why you probably want something like cake or pastries or cookies or candy, something that's going to give you a quick boost of glucose. Our brains can't store glucose, so they need a constant supply. And for people who are wondering, well, how much carbs should I be eating? For maximum function and metabolic potential, your body needs a carb intake of 50 to 60% of your total daily intake. And we're going to talk about what that all looks like and kind of like piecing this all together. But basically, carbs should consist of half your plate at the very least. And there's different types of carbs. There are carbs that are a little more complex than others. And when I say complex, it just means that they take longer to break down. So they're going to provide you with a slower release of glucose into the bloodstream. It can take up to 2 hours. When you talk about simple carbs, they break down very quickly. So kind of like I told you, like the sweets, think about soda, juice, fruit, things like that. They're going to provide you with a quick boost of energy. When we're thinking complex carbs, think about like brown rice, oatmeal, fibrous vegetables, for example, beans. Those things are going to take a little more time to break down. And carbs are so important. Aside from like giving us the energy that our body needs, they also provide a wide variety of vitamins, minerals, fiber, hydration too. Like think about all the hydration that we get from fruits and vegetables, for example.
Now, do you feel like there's a certain amount of complex versus simple carbs people should aim for, or what's a good kind of place to start with that?
So it depends. I would say generally, I recommend going for mostly complex carbohydrates in your meals because they're more nutritious. So for example, like I mentioned, whole grains, beans, vegetables, you know, but then also there are simple carbs like fruits that are very healthy and that will get you from one meal to the next as a snack. Or you could put them like in a smoothie, for example, in combination with other things that will help to slow down the breakdown of carbohydrate. And so it kind of just all depends. I feel like simple carbs tend to get more demonized because they're associated with like sweets and, you know, things like that. But what do you think?
I think that what you said makes total sense. The only thing that I would add is that there is a place in the diet for simple carbs, because people think of simple carbs as only for pleasure. And I want to make it very clear that pleasure is also a perfectly valid reason to eat. You don't only have to eat because of nutrition. Having said that, there is a nutrition implication for simple carbs as well. For example, every morning I try to go outside or, you know, do a little workout or something like that. And am I going for complex carbs? No. Why? Because they take up to 2 hours to break down into the bloodstream and I need a quick release of energy. So I'm going for something like a piece of white toast with jam or a banana that's going to break down quicker into my bloodstream. So there is a reason for each of these types of carbs. And it really just depends on what you're looking to use them for. Now, let's get into protein. Protein. So why do we need protein? Couple of reasons, but the main two are it facilitates cell repair and growth, and it's also used to build muscle. And I know a lot of people are always thinking like, yeah, like more protein, more muscle, you know, put it on in the gym or whatever. But the problem is when you are not eating enough food in general or enough of these other macronutrients, your body is not going to use the protein that you're eating for building muscle. Your body is going to use that protein for energy to keep you fueled throughout the day. So protein only helps to build muscle when you have adequate total calories and you're getting enough of the other macronutrients. How much protein do you need? Well, science believes that for maximum functioning and metabolic potential, your body needs a protein intake of about 15 to 20% of your total daily intake. There are two different types of sources of protein. There's plant-based sources and there's animal sources. The one thing to keep in mind about plant-based sources is sometimes you need a higher volume of these things in order to get the same grams of protein. Like, for example, you have to eat a lot of beans to get the same amount of protein that you would get in a smaller portion of fish or pork or beef. Same thing with nuts, nut butters, tofu. Like, they do have protein, but you're going to have to eat a little bit more volume of those foods. What are the plant-based sources of protein? Well, the main ones are legumes, which is beans, lentils, and peas. I already said nuts and nut butters. Tofu, tempeh, seitan, soy milk. Also ripple milk, which is one that I really like. And many people are always asking, what plant-based milk do you recommend? We actually have an episode on that. So scroll up. It's only like a few episodes up and check that out. But if you are looking for a plant-based milk that has protein, you're really limited to soy milk and something like ripple milk where they're adding protein into it. In terms of animal sources of protein, we have beef, pork, poultry, fish, and other seafood, all great sources. Milk, yogurt, especially Greek yogurt. I have patients who will often say, oh yeah, I'm getting protein from my yogurt. And I always tell them to like look on the back of the nutrition facts label and just make sure to see how much protein you're getting from that. Because even myself, I was getting the Greek yogurt from, I think it was Trader Joe's, which I love Trader Joe's. And I never looked. I just assumed like, oh, this has protein and I'm relying on that protein because this was my protein source in my smoothie. But then when I actually checked after having that for like months, I was like, wait a minute, this doesn't have nearly as much protein as other Greek yogurts. So this actually is not going to be my first choice. So just, you know, you want to double check with certain things. Eggs are also an amazing source of protein. So having eggs as part of your breakfast or for snacks is another great choice if you're trying to up your protein intake.
Oh, girl, I need to check the label because I buy the Trader Joe's Greek yogurt. I'm about to go check that right now, child.
Yeah, and it also depends. Wait a minute. Right. It depends on if it's flavored. It depends on if it's the amount of fat that's in it. It depends on if it's Greek or non-Greek. Like, just double check because I can't remember which one I was getting, but I was shocked.
Oh my God. Okay. Yeah. Well, I know you eat mostly plant-based. So do you find that you kind of have to keep track to make sure that you're getting enough protein during the day? Or at this point, is it kind of intuitive for you?
I would say it's pretty intuitive. For me, I like to start every morning off with a smoothie that includes enough protein for the morning. And then for the other meals, I definitely have to have protein, carbs, and fat at every meal. So I think it's just like what we're talking about, the balance. If one thing is off, then I'm ravenous for the rest of the day. And I just don't, or I get really tired and don't feel great. This podcast is brought to you by Philo. Fun fact about me, I've never in my adult life, or even as a kid, paid for cable TV. I find it way too expensive and I just am not fronting that cost. However, I am a TV girly, especially reality TV. No shame in my game. And I want to watch all the shows. So I find myself having to like bum off of my friends and my mom to watch my shows. And I have, you know, I bum off of different accounts and it just gets overwhelming and I'm sick of it. That is why I have moved on over to Philo. Philo is a live and on-demand TV for just $25 a month. That's $25 and you get all of your shows. They have VH1, BET, A&E, AMC, plus 60 other channels like Comedy Central, Nickelodeon, Paramount, and Discovery. And hello, if you are a reality TV person like me, you know Discovery has all the shows, including 90 Day Fiancé. They also have classics like Martin, The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, Love and Hip Hop. Okay, I've been a Love and Hip Hop fan since day one. Black Ink Crew. I mean, literally, they have everything. And here's my favorite part. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles, just a better way to watch TV. Also, as if it couldn't get any better, Philo has an unlimited DVR for 1 year, which is amazing. Save all them shows so that they fit into your schedule. They also allow for multiple profiles and multiple streams so you can share with everybody in the house. Nobody has to fight, like my mom, who's always pissed off when we're logged into her different accounts. Like, no, everyone in the house can have their own saved shows and up to 3 simultaneous streams. It's also very easy to use, easy to sign up. I did it myself. It took less than 5 minutes. And you can watch from all the devices, your phone, your laptop, your tablet, everything, Roku, Fire TV, which we have. So sign up today at Philo TV. That's philo.tv. And use the promo code FOODHEAVEN to get 50% off your first month. I'm so excited about this. I am a subscriber. I'm going to stay a subscriber and make sure you do too. All right, back to the episode.
All right, so moving along to fats. So fats, snapshot, they're needed to store energy. They insulate us. They protect our organs. They act as messengers. They help proteins do their job. If there's anything that you get from this episode, is that macronutrients work together to keep your body functioning. They all kind of rely on each other, and especially for fats, because fats will help to increase your body's absorption of fat-soluble vitamins. Some of these vitamins are in other macronutrients, and so eating fat with other foods will help with absorption. It's so important to include some kind of fat during mealtimes. They also help you feel full and satiated. And so unless there is some concern, like health concern for someone who maybe has high cholesterol or something like that and has to pay attention to saturated fat, typically I don't recommend low fat products, which a lot of people find shocking because they're like, wait, what? Like I'm always being told I should buy low fat. Unless there's a medical reason for buying low fat, I don't recommend it, because full fat will help you feel full for longer. There's no need to cut out the fat in any type of product. Usually people do this for like dairy, like cheese, milk. No need for that. Just go for the full fat option. Also, when you eat fats with carbohydrates, it helps to slow down the release of sugar into the bloodstream. And so it's nice because it gives you like a steady flow of energy. Carbohydrates, if you're just having carbs on their own, which a lot of people who are transitioning into eating plant-based do, they're relying mostly on carbs for energy. What happens is that you get a boost of energy and then it quickly crashes because there isn't a steady release happening. So trying to have everything in combination together will provide a good balance. There are different types of fats, just like, you know, carbs and protein. And you might have heard of some of these. Some are saturated, which I just mentioned. Some are unsaturated. But with saturated fats, you'll find them in foods like meats, especially red meats, butters, creams, coconut oil, which, oh my God, I think coconut oil is overrated, honestly.
I do too.
I'm like, child, coconut oil, coconut milk. Coconut milk and cooking, excelente. Coconut milk for health benefits, why? And I talk about this in my plant-based milks episode. Make sure you take a listen, because I don't recommend that you drink coconut oil like as a plant-based milk for many reasons. Anyways, with saturated fats, they're typically solid at room temperature. So you might notice like coconut milk, when you open the can, it's usually like pretty solid. It's very saturated. Same with like butters and things like that. And eating a diet that's high in saturated fat is associated with higher levels of the not so good cholesterol and also an increased risk of heart disease. Now, the USDA recommends limiting saturated fats to just 10% of your total calories for the day. This doesn't mean that you have to cut out saturated fats. Like, for example, if you love your red meat, I recommend having it maybe once or twice a week. If you're at a higher risk for heart disease, if you find that your cholesterol is trending on the higher side, then maybe you want to cut back even more. And now for some takeaways. Number one, both complex and simple carbs should have a place on our plate, and you should make sure to include carbs at every single meal. Number two, proteins help to build muscle, but they are not the end all be all. You really need to zoom out and look at the bigger picture. And then lastly, fats are going to help us feel satiated, and it also allows our bodies to absorb nutrients. So there's no need to cut those out. Basically, don't cut anything out.
The bottom line is, yes, protein is overrated because the other macronutrients, carbohydrate and fat, are underrated and they've been vilified and demonized. But the reality is we need a balance of all of these things at every meal, and we need more carbohydrates than protein. So just if you remember one thing from this episode, it's that carbohydrates should make up the majority of your plate, and carbs doesn't mean what people associate carbs with. It's just like juice and cookies and candy. Yes, those things deserve a place on your plate as well, or for snacks or treats. But carbs also include vegetables. They also include whole grains, beans, like all the foods that we kind of think about as nutrient dense foods. So those should make up a large portion of your plate. And then the remainder should be dedicated to protein and fat.
Yeah. And remember to stay flexible. I mean, you know, we provided the recommended percentages, but as always, health is flexible. You don't have to like bang your brain about this. With time, it will become intuitive. Just try to incorporate some variety. Have a little bit of each food group in each meal. It takes some time to, you know, get into a flow of things, especially if you're not used to kind of planning your meals with these things in mind. And so, you know, it could be as simple as adding avocado to your meal for some extra fat, or, you know, adding some beans or chicken or tofu, or even like a fried egg to your meal for a little bit more protein. It doesn't have to be super complicated, but this is really like, I think this will help to give you a good foundation for planning all of your meals and even some of your snacks moving forward. Because with snacks, typically I recommend having at least two food groups for you to feel like really satisfied with that snack. So for example, having some fruit with peanut butter would be an example of having carbs with some fat and a little bit of protein. It doesn't have to be super complicated, you know? So we hope you found this helpful. As I mentioned before, next week we're going to be talking about healthy eating. What does that even mean anymore? And yeah, we're just really excited about all the episodes and series to come. We have so many cool ideas.
Yes.
In the works.
The brains are flowing.
Yeah.
And for next week, we're going to dive into how we bring all of this together and construct a balanced, flexible plate. So if you're leaving this episode and feeling like, oh, that all sounds great, but I need even more practical advice, because I know this was more on the sciencey side, definitely tune in next week, because that's where we're going to break everything down in a way that's very accessible. Now, remember at the top of the episode, I mentioned our giveaway. So if you have learned something new from this episode, make sure to take a screenshot of the episode on your phone, wherever you're listening, and tag us on Instagram at Food Heaven, and drop a little line with what you liked about the episode, or just say you're enjoying this series. I'm also going to name the series Nutrition Essentials. I just thought about that as we were like recording. So this is our Nutrition Essentials series. And now you can even drop that line as well when you are mentioning it on your Instagram. Thanks so much for listening to another episode of the Food Heaven podcast. If you haven't already, make sure to connect with us online. We're most active on the gram at Food Heaven, but we're also on Facebook and Twitter at Food Heaven Show. If you like this podcast, make sure to rate, review, subscribe, and share with a friend.
Yep, our podcast is released every Wednesday, and each week we take a deep dive into topics like health at every size, food and culture, intuitive eating, mental health, and body acceptance. If you're looking for a sustainable and inclusive path to wellness, come hang out with us to learn how to take care of yourself from the inside out. We'll catch you next time.
Bye. Bye.
Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.